The number 55 was my preferred jersey number for any team sport I ever played. It was also the number worn by two baseball players with names that sounded dirty but really weren't. Oral Hershiser and Tim Lincecum. The Roman numeral for 55 is LV. Speaking of LV, American singer Luther Vandross died just before turning 55. 55 is the atomic number for cesium, a metal that's highly explosive. And speaking of highly explosive metal, Sammy Hagar can't drive 55. But there is a financial company that promises freedom at 55. And this is the double nickel of the Godfathers of Podcasting. We've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. The video version of this show is available on our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. And you can grab the audio version on any major podcast provider. Please like and subscribe us on whatever app you find us on and help tell all your friends all about us. And keep this thing going. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. Make sure you go to our website and pick up hoodies, tees, tank tops, whatever you want. We got like coffee mugs, anything you can think of. My name is Donnie Da Silva, and it is my pleasure to introduce the He-Man and Cringer to my Skeletor, Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell, and your bro Danny O.
Why did it have to be Cringer? He's supposed to be Battle Cat if He-Man's He-Man. Was that a slight at me, man?
Of all the characters in the He-Man universe, you're Cringer, guy.
Hell nah.
You're Cringer sitting over there in the corner. Like, nah, man. I'm afraid of heights. I'm not going to walk that suspension bridge. Nah.
My dude was Mechaneck. That was my heavyweight champion of the Masters of Universe Wrestling Federation.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Because you would take all the Masters of the Universe figures and have wrestling matches with
100%.
Them.
100%. I drew all of their logos, just like how they used to do on Saturday night's main event. I held interviews and held the piece of paper behind their head while they were doing the interview. I had storylines. I had belts. And yeah, He-Man by far outdid the actual wrestlers as wrestling toys.
Well, because they were more posable.
So you're pretty geeked. So you're pretty geeked about like this whole thing with Netflix,
huge,
and Mattel Television getting together, and what is it? End of July, they're coming out with the new He-Man stuff, and there's some screen captures. Like there's some artist stuff out there already, right? And they've already released a toy line. Like Mattel is completely behind this. This could be really good for those guys, man.
You know, I didn't know about the show yet, but I actually did see the toys because I was out with Melina looking. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we were looking for at Walmart, but I saw them. And they are slightly different than the originals, which, of course, as a, you know, an original He-Man fan, little disappointed. Apparently, there's joints now, like in the elbows. They didn't used to run the joints in the elbows. It was just in the, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. And they look a little smaller.
That well, you know what? Said, you know why they have joints? You know why they have joints now?
Why do they have joints now?
Because the executive producer and the showrunner is Kevin Smith, and he loves joints.
Wow. How clever. So clever. And yet... You didn't come up with the fact that episode 5 and 5, we know what that equals.
Adds up to 10.
Yeah, it does.
And if you're new to the show, Daniel has an obsession with the number 10.
Hence,
and the guy goes with LV, right? And then goes to Luther Vandross, not Las Vegas. You are a piece of shit human, and I hope you stub your toe on your table tonight.
Wow. What's the Las Vegas connection to the number 55? Cut me a break here, Tidwell.
Bro, I'm damn near 55.
There it is.
Tid's getting there.
LV, as soon as you said LV, I actually did think that's where you were going. But respect for the Luther.
Absolutely. Drop. Yeah, probably perform more in Las Vegas than anybody else.
So I want to go back to this story here that I didn't know about till Tid brought it to my attention earlier today about Netflix bringing back a reboot of He-Man, the Masters of the Universe, a cartoon from the 80s. Did you guys realize? I mean, Tid, you're a little bit older, so you probably weren't watching He-Man when it was popular. But I know Dan was a huge He-Man fan, so was I back in the day. Did you know that TV show only ran 2 years?
I would have never guessed that. I would have immediately lost on a trivia show if that
2 years, bro. That's it. 2 seasons,
really.
And
that doesn't make sense given the popularity of this shit, because they had movies and obviously the toys.
The toy line ran way longer, but the TV show 2 seasons. That's it.
I that's crazy.
But here's something really interesting about this show. So I mentioned with my little joint joke there that wasn't set up that Kevin Smith, my all-time favorite director, he's actually producing and showrunning this show.
Wow.
And this is a absolutely star-studded cast.
Really?
Like Skeletor,
up, man.
Skeletor is being played by Mark Hamill.
Wow.
Luke Skywalker.
Why wouldn't it himself. Be?
Luke Skywalker is
Skeletor. I mean, look at what he's done. Look at what he's done with the animated version of the Joker.
He's the Joker. He's the prankster or the trickster.
Yeah.
He's done such great voice work. Sarah Michelle Gellar is Tila. Henry Rollins, Tid. Henry Rollins, the punk icon from Black Flag, is playing Triclops. Alan Oppenheimer is playing Mossman. Alicia Silverstone is Queen Marlena. Justin Long, who I'm a huge fan of. Our buddy Eric Bauza, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, just did a podcast with Justin Long last week.
Yeah, man. Right, that's right.
Justin Long's going to be Roboto. Kevin Smith's hetero life mate, Jason Mewes, is going to be Stinkor. We talked a couple weeks ago with Eric Bauza about Kevin Conroy, who's been the voice of Batman for the last 25 years. He's going to be Merman.
Wow, man.
There's a lot of Cree Summer. You remember Cree Summer? She played Freddy on Different World.
Big shout out to my man Rainbow. That's Rainbow.
That's
sister.
Right. So Cree Summer is going to be the priestess.
Wow. That's unbelievable. I am now finally taking a look at this, and it looks sick because one of my concerns, I don't know if you guys know, there already is a She-Ra reboot, and the She-Ra looks nothing like what it used to be.
Didn't the She-Ra reboot totally flop?
It must have, because it was flopped to me. It looked like a halfway imitation of like something anime, but not, and definitely nothing like the original. But it looks like the direction they're going with this is more in keeping with the original.
How long before they fuck this up and they try to do a remake of the live action?
Don't do live action. This is the medium it's meant to be in.
I think
And I know Kevin Smith is going to stay pretty close to the source material, but if he decided to Kevin Smith it, which He-Man character would be the pothead? Dan?
I don't know why I mentioned Mechaneck earlier, but it sounds like, you know, smoking a joint could be somewhat extra pleasurable if you had a longer neck. I don't know. Plus, in the cartoons,
his head's like a bong.
There you go. And in the cartoons, Mechaneck's voice was kind of high, so I don't know why. He's got a Chris Tucker vibe to him, maybe. I don't know.
What was that little dwarfy fucking
Orko thing? Orko's the dealer.
Oh
no! that
well, he was always flying, sure. So
yeah,
right. He was always high, literally, right? And that's he would pull stuff out of his robe, right? So yeah. I'm thinking,
and He-Man himself was probably a pretty big like surfer, West Coast, you know.
Oh, he's a Roid Monkey.
stoner vibe.
They were right? All Roid Monkey. Those were the most figures in the history of like they had extra muscles everywhere, bro, and they were all shaped the same.
I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna say that the Masters of the Universe were not on steroids. They just like to keep fit and have fun.
Right.
I'm gonna go with that as my sentiment.
Who doesn't,
right?
Yeah.
So I think that that show is gonna do really, really well. On a totally unrelated note, we were talking about this off air, the 40th anniversary of the passing of the great Bob Marley. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, your thoughts.
Well, my bro, obviously I got four of his vinyls here in the back. I got the entire Bob Marley and the Wailers collection on vinyl. He is without question in my top three all-time favorite artists.
All-time favorite artists, like of any genre?
Of any genre, all-time top three. Yeah.
So
he
wait,
only
let me
knows four.
Let me hold on. Let me see if I get this right.
Sure.
In no particular order, top three for you.
Yes.
Michael.
Correct.
The Whispers.
They're in the top five.
Oh, they're top five.
Yeah, they're in the top five.
Wow.
They're actually, you know what? Probably top four. Legit top four. So you've got my top two. You know, okay, Bob.
So Michael, Bob, out the four. Whispers. Who's the other one?
Come on, man.
Oh, Big Daddy Kane.
No.
What?
No.
Then you're a fraud because you always say Big Daddy Kane's your favorite.
Wow.
All-time favorite hip-hop artist. But believe it or not, my top four musical artists of all times are not hip-hop. Sade is my top four.
Oh, Sade?
Sade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where do I rank on your list of all-time
I can see that, though. I
well, you
see
have your
that.
Own category, man. Your
no,
own
I could see I could all see Dan own. And Sade. They share a forehead.
My, yeah, legit. Hey, man, I if Melina
get that cut
Melina,
yet?
She would have been Sade. Like, that was my name. Would have
see,
been.
It is one of the sexiest names, though, regardless. Yo. Like, you may not like the music, anything like that. Mm-hmm. That is a sexy name, no matter how. Yes. You cannot say that unsexy.
She knows. Although her name is Helen, you're right. I agree that Helen Fole Sade Adu is up there in my top three. Sade Bob, however, Adu. And let's give him the respect he deserves. It's been 40 years since his passing on May 11th, 1981. I don't think I've ever heard a Bob Marley record I didn't like. Right. His message and his music was equally dope. And I think it's very rare to find any musical artist who you find equally dope in terms of just the musicality plus the message. And it goes without saying that what he had to say about the world at large is a message that still rings true today, maybe more true now than ever. It's all feel good. Every time I hear his music, it's like it's summertime, or at least I wish it was. And God bless Robert Nesta Marley, man. Easily one of my all-time faves.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Absolutely. But didn't Bob Marley have one of the most avoidable deaths ever?
You
the
know,
story I've yeah. heard is that he had melanoma. He had cancer on a toe.
Yes.
And he was told by doctors that he had to have the toe or potentially the entire foot amputated. And he refused, saying, then I won't be able to play soccer. Well, so he chose the ability to play soccer over living. But stories that have progressed over the years where he didn't totally understand that mm-hmm. it was foot or life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I've actually heard conflicting stories. You know, talking about Netflix, I don't know if it's on Netflix. So I can't go ahead and say that it is. But there is a Bob Marley documentary out there that sort of showcases the sort of last few years of his life. It includes the shooting attempt at a concert when he got shot right. and like his survival of that. And also his obvious connection to Rastafarianism, which one story, and this story is what I got when I was actually in Nine Mile in Jamaica visiting Bob Marley's resting place like 10 years ago. And the dude who was Crazy Charlie, anyone who's been on that trip knows Crazy Charlie. And we visited his resting place.
Oh, yeah.
And one of his comments was because of his belief in Rastafarianism, he didn't want to do anything unnatural. I'm paraphrasing, unnatural to his body. So like even cutting his dreadlocks off was like unacceptable. The documentary, however, says the opposite, and in fact indicates that he did seek treatment. His dreads were cut prior to death. I believe he's buried with them, but they were cut prior to death, and that he didn't amputate, but he did seek treatment. So I've heard conflicting stories and wish I knew the actual truth.
I don't know.
I wish I knew the name of this particular documentary as well, but it's worth looking up any and all music fans. Because, yeah, I agree with you. By today's standard, cancer in your foot should not lead, I would hope or think it wouldn't lead to death. But, yeah, we lost them young.
Sade over the Whispers, for real?
Well, I don't know if it's – put it this Sade? Way. I'm into their music for different reasons. Interestingly enough, my love for Michael, Bob, and Sade are like three different kinds of music for three different reasons to listen to music.
Wait, where does Hall & Oates fit on that list for you?
Oh, they're up there too. They're up there too, bro.
I can understand that.
Yeah, but like it's weird because I like my love for hip hop came in at 10 years old. And and before I was 10, I was already into MJ and Bob and Sade. So, you know what I'm saying? It just was
by the
that
way,
influence.
Our guest this week is sitting in the backstage area right now. He just sent a message to give shout outs to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, absolutely.
Why wouldn't you?
I got a bunch of Earth, Wind, and Fire back there as well. And for anybody who doesn't know about the Verses, are you guys into Verses? Do you know about the mm-hmm. Verses TV challenges that have been yep. going on for the past year? Earth, Wind, yeah. and Fire a couple weeks ago went against the Isley Brothers. And it's one of the absolute best Verses ever. I think only topped on 420 when Redman went against Method Man, which of course just ended up being a concert. Anyways,
I'd like to
big shouts to EWF.
I'd like to see Versus done by Spike TV, where it turns into Deadliest Warrior.
Oh, that was a dope show. Big shout out to a show I forgot about. That was a dope show.
Remember how we used to binge that?
Yes. Shit? Yeah. And I remember on a former podcast that you and I had, we tried to figure out who would win between a Jamaican and a Portuguese dude and come up with...
And you had the worst. You had the worst. Like, I'm going to whip you with my dreadlock.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, if it was a video game, that shit would be dope.
I was actually pulling out historical facts of the Portuguese warriors and the days of the Luso soldiers.
Or Buffalo soldiers, dreadlock rock.
Now it would probably just turn into like an episode of like Bar Rescue. Could you imagine that? Yeah. Like Versus Rescue.
Where's John Taffer when you need him?
Rap Rescue.
There's a few artists out there that could use Rap Rescue.
That's what I'm saying.
For the record, though, all-time MCs, Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, and Kool G Rap are my holy trinity.
So when I said Big Daddy Kane in your top three all-time, I was like... working from a place of knowledge.
He's my number one MC. Okay. Yeah.
No. Where does Mel Torme fit in?
Once I figure out who that is, I'll let you know.
You don't know who Mel Torme is?
What about Harry Connick Jr.?
I know who he is.
How do you not know who Mel Torme is?
I don't know who Mel Torme is.
That's oh, my God.
Didn't you ever watch Night Court?
I know Bull.
So do I.
The constant Barry Manilow versus Mel Torme stuff was the best storyline on Nick.
I know the show. I wasn't into it like that to know that story.
Speaking of He-Man reboot, there's a Night Court reboot coming soon.
Wow. They're just rebooting everything, man.
Yeah, Punky that's gonna
nobody knows how to write. Nobody knows how to write anything.
Real.
No one can come up with an original idea.
Yeah, seriously.
The Night Court reboot, we've actually been in touch over the last few weeks with a few original cast members of Night Court, trying to get them here on this show since Night Court is once again topical. So we're working on that, folks.
That'd be dope.
Tid, I want to get your thoughts since we were talking about, Deadliest Warrior and stuff like that. What is your thought on the Deadliest Warrior, Jake Paul, and his... his hat stealing of Floyd Money Mayweather and all of that publicity working tension or like legit animosity. What is going on with Jake Paul, the YouTube star turned boxer, and Floyd Money Mayweather, one of the best of all time?
What are we selling here?
that was a great response.
They're selling a fight, apparently.
Are they?
Apparently.
What kind of a fight are they selling? What's it for? What's it for? It's an exhibition fight because at the end of the day, Floyd isn't allowed to weigh over 160 pounds, and whatever Paul brother isn't allowed to weigh over 190 pounds. That's still a 30-pound difference and at least a foot. This is set up to be one of those freak show exhibition fights. Mm-hmm. In a real legit boxing match, does Floyd Mayweather dust both of these guys at the same time? Abso-fucking-lutely, in his prime. Right now, Floyd's about making money and stuff, right? Now, is Floyd going to set himself up to lose? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There is no way in hell. So they're doing a very good job of trying to promote this thing. But at the end of the day, the smarter businessman, Paul brother, is the one who's taking this fight with Floyd Mayweather. Because the younger one is a bit of a hothead, and he'd find himself like losing very badly in a fight with Floyd Mayweather.
Okay, I got my Paul brothers all mixed up. Jake Paul, who's fighting Floyd Mayweather, is the same one that beat up Nate Robinson, right?
Isn't he? Yeah.
I think he is.
God, I don't even know anymore. No. That was Logan, wasn't it?
Oh.
Oh.
And Logan was one. Logan is the younger one. He's the one that took the hat.
Okay.
But Logan, Jake is the one who's actually fighting Mayweather.
Okay.
Oh, so the guy who took the hat is not fighting
Mayweather? Logan. No, Logan is actually closer to Mayweather's size as well, right? He's the smaller of the two. he would get his ass not only dusted, but like spit on and penetrated by Floyd Mayweather at any given day.
Even at the age of 44, sure, Floyd Mayweather's still going to abuse this kid, right? Like, they're going to let the fight go a few rounds because it's an exhibition and they want to give people their money's worth, but he's going to destroy him, right?
By all rights, he absolutely should at any given time, no matter what. And I'm telling you, Floyd is not setting himself up to do anything but look good while doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Are either of you interested in buying that pay-per-view?
I can't see, you know, me, but I mean, I can't see this as a legitimate fight. Obviously, it's an exhibition, but also Floyd Mayweather is one of the greatest of all time, an undefeated fighter. Jake Paul's a joke. I laughed at the gotcha hat thing. I thought it was funny.
Right.
But to watch this like it's a real fight is, like you said, it's just not.
So everybody knows the logistics of this fight. So they're trying to do stuff like this to make it sellable. Because at the end of the day, they got to look at a way to figure out to pay Floyd Mayweather $100 million.
Yeah, I guess I see the appeal in this social media obsessed world of watching nonsense, but I can't imagine fight fans are that amped.
But you can't. But that's the thing. There aren't that many boxing fans left. Like, people that are strict boxing fans, there's most of the fight fans have become UFC fans. If you look at the buy rates of boxing fights, there aren't that many hardcore boxing fans left. The most entertaining boxing match we've seen in a long time was the Mike Tyson and what's his name?
Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr.
But let me ask you this,
and Paul versus Nate Robinson. That's two of the most entertaining fights that we've seen in many years.
But let me ask
you
this.
And they were both circus shows.
If MMA is so large and boxing not so much, how true is it when Paul's talking about, you know, he's calling out Dana White and not paying his fighters anywhere near where boxers get paid? Why is there so much money in boxing versus MMA if that's the case?
Well, the way that Tid can speak better to this, but the way that the boxing economics are worked out is just completely different, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they truly operate like independent contractors, right, Tid?
Right. Yeah.
I think Tid might be frozen.
I remember that's what Carlos Newton was saying on this show. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time it really struck me that it really does seem unfair that MMA, fighters seem to be locked into contracts without having the freedom to fight where they choose and get the bank that they would definitely deserve, as far as I'm concerned, as far as fighting goes.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of these UFC fighters, they sign long-term contracts because they want the stability. But like, you look at a guy like, Tid just dropped out. Mm-hmm. He must've frozen completely. He'll be back.
Yep.
You look at a guy like Nick Diaz, who signed that 8-fight contract years ago, and he was making less than mid-card fighters when he was at the top of the show.
Yeah.
And it caused all kinds of animosity between him and the organization. But the company's like, well, to hell with you. You signed a contract.
Yeah, I can imagine. So if you sign an 8-fight contract, do you get a specific amount per fight, or is that contract set in stone regardless of how big the fights eventually become?
Yeah, and Tid can speak to this, but generally, if Nick Diaz signed that 8-fight contract, right? We're just talking about the economics of the fighters.
Okay.
And it was like a terrible deal for Diaz, great deal for the UFC. But in a deal like that, Tid, when the UFC signs you to a multi-fight deal, they're looking at locking you in, right, for as low a per fight appearance, and then there may or may not be some part of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, you're not even looking at getting any kind of part of the gate until you've moved up considerably, even in the rankings. And sometimes even like the top five guys aren't getting any of that kind of rub whatsoever. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, very few and far between. Like, UFC fighters and MMA fighters in general just aren't making that kind of money.
Right.
Compared to boxing. And it's a weird dynamic as to how we can see boxers making that kind of money. But if you think about like what we saw this past weekend with Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders, 73,000 people, guys, in Texas, which, in itself is fantastic. And I applaud them
for being able to do that on a side note before anybody starts going, how is it that Texas is still is opening up in Canada and blah, 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 and all these other things. Okay, here's a little side note for you very quickly before we move on. Texas has handed out more vaccines than Canada has altogether. So shut up and go get vaccinated.
They're also not testing in Texas. They're not testing. Everyone wants to say that their numbers are so low. They're not testing.
Sure.
So nobody knows what their numbers are.
It's the Donald Trump theory. Don't test. You won't get any positive.
Well, of course
cases.
You're going to get positive results if you test.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. I want to throw out this other story for you, a reality TV story, which I know you guys are huge fans of. But, Dan, I think you're going to like this. And, Tid, you're going to appreciate this as well. And then we can throw to our guest. So you guys know that one of my guilty pleasures for years and years is watching the reality show Big Brother.
Yep.
So Big Brother held their season finale last week.
Okay.
And it came down to three people, Tashawn Carter-Newman from Montreal, Tara Gillen Petrosi, who's from LaSalle, Ontario, and Braden White from Calgary. So the way it worked was Tashawn won the final competition. He had the power to decide which of those two people he was going to boot and who he would sit next to in the finale and have a jury of his peers vote who's going to win. It seemed like smart money would have been for him to take Tara, who had more enemies in jury. Braden was a well-loved guy. He was this exuberant, over-the-top personality, super flamboyant. But Tashawn said something that has really gone viral. He said, "I'm sorry, Tara. I care about you. I respect you as a person, as a mother, as a competitor. But I want the winner of Big Brother Canada Season 9 to be black." Because...
Oh, wow.
Tashawn is black, Braden is black.
Okay.
And so he voted out Tara.
You threw me when you called him Braden White, but okay.
And it was the first time.
That is a pretty white name.
It was the first time in the history of that show in 20 some odd years over like 10 different countries.
Sure.
It's the first time they've had two black people in the finale.
Right.
And obviously the first time that they had a black winner for Big Brother Canada.
Did he end up winning, Tashawn? Or was
Tashawn
it
did win after taking that huge gamble. He said, "I don't care if I win. This is about something bigger. This is about representation.
Right.
And this is about kids at home watching this on TV and saying, I could do this too." And there was a lot of praise thrown on the show because unlike past seasons where they would have one black player.
Right.
One gay guy, one, you know, like that was the mix, right? This season, there was true diversity.
Right.
Right. The cast was almost split down the middle with equal representation of people of color. We had a First Nations person who won Canada's most popular player.
Oh, wow.
And Tashawn ends up winning by a vote of 6-1. I think in large part because some of his peers really respected that move.
Right.
So I just thought, you know what, at the end of the day, it's a stupid reality TV show.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha.
Ding, 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 ding.
But representation matters in all forms, in all places. And I thought that was a really cool kind of move. And, you know, I'd like to get Tashawn on the show to talk about that. He's $100,000 richer. And, you know, good for him, man. Like, he made a really good move. And
awesome.
I thought it was really interesting. I don't know how many people would do that. Take the tougher opponent, right? And chance losing $100,000 because of your social cause. Like that's commendable.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, one of the first things I was thinking as you were talking about that is how it always seems like every single season of every reality show, Survivor is the one that I like, has tokens, right? Maybe a couple black people, like you said, the token gay contestant. There's always just someone's got to, but the actual diversity that we see living every day isn't usually represented. And obviously for the Canadian one, I mean, listen, I can't speak for the rest of Canada, but obviously being from Toronto, diversity is literally part of our everyday lives. So when you don't see it on TV, it does get a little bit frustrating. And so for the season to have shown that and then for it to have turned out that way, to me, it sounds like, hey, this has been a desperate cry for equal representation for a long time. And, you know, it kind of ended the way that maybe it should have, because it's been so long since we've had anything like this. And especially given the past year and the climate that we're in, it made sense. So I don't know the show, but I'll shout the dude for having done that.
Tashawn, good job, my man. You represented well. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now for the big hello, and we are going to welcome our featured guest this week. And quite honestly, what more can be said about this man? I've already done two over-the-top introductions for him before, because he is now the first guest on the show to make a third appearance, which means he either likes us or our past two interviews were so forgettable he doesn't remember that we suck. Of course, three episodes on this show pales in comparison to over 100 episodes that he appeared on for TSN's Off the Record, which I think might even be more times than Tid was on the show. And it's definitely more than Dan and I, because between the two of us, we're about 97 appearances short. Fans across Canada look at this man as a national treasure. He and his wife, Joanne, hosted more than 300 episodes of Body Break, encouraging people everywhere to keep fit and have fun. Recently, the Canadian Frailty Network enlisted his help to support their healthy aging campaign. He's also been very vocal on social media and in interviews, encouraging Canadians to get out there and get their shot. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the man that has more broadcast equipment in his home than the entire CBC, our pal Hal, the one and only Hal Johnson.
Hello.
What's up, Hal?
Can you hear me?
Hey, hey, sir.
Absolutely.
Good.
Great to have you back.
Well, I thought after the third episode, I started to get paid.
No, see, when Larry Hankin was on this show, he told us, right? What's the number? It's 8 appearances, and then you're a recurring character.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That's right.
That's why he was upset when he was on Friends, and they killed him off on his 7th episode, because he was going to go buy a house.
Looking for Hal, that recurring character money.
Are you out in Muskoka there, Hal?
Up in Muskoka, yeah.
That's beautiful, man. Most people with that backdrop, it's like a poster.
Yeah, and I've got my bear spray. For Tid, just in case.
You need it to keep Tid away. That,
so.
It's funny. Yeah. I used to have that same stuff when I lived in downtown Toronto. I think they were different kind of bears, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, in honor of Hal, since he doesn't drink, I'm switching to coffee now at this point in the interview, okay?
All water here, Hal.
There you go.
Hal, I'm so intrigued. And, you know, when I talked to some people this past week about the fact that you were going to be joining us on the show again, someone said to me, you know, Hal is apparently, and you know, his whole brand, he really is this picture of health and has been his whole life. And the previous two times that we've had you on the show, we've never really gotten a chance to dissect that and what that looks like for you on a day-to-day basis. So I'm curious, for you, what does a day look like? You wake up in the morning, at what time? What are you eating typically? What is your workout routine like on a typical day for Hal Johnson?
Well, typically I get up around 6 o'clock and try to get some and think about, okay, what am I going to do today? I usually don't have it planned out in terms of my exercise routine. It's more, especially in the summer, like tomorrow, I'm texting a few guys. We're going to go for probably about a 30K bike ride tomorrow. Wow. And then if not, I'll do some kayaking tomorrow morning. If not enough guys show up to
you go know, regular second. Stuff, a little kayaking, you know.
Yeah.
So the knee is good.
The knee is good. Awesome. It's good. It's been kind of miraculous. I think when I was on it, I hadn't had the operation yet.
Mm-hmm.
Before I had the operation January 26th. It was painful.
Wow.
It was extraordinarily painful to have a total knee replacement. Yeah. And so it's and the I would call it the funny thing is that the oxycodone that I was given,
okay,
just like I don't understand how you could get addicted to something like that, because
really? Tid, how do you get addicted to those?
Well, I mean, it's an opioid. So some people's receptors just work differently. You know what I mean? You find your serotonin levels elevated when you are exercising, whereas other people find them in opioids. I mean, it's a weird thing, man. And I wish that there was more people that found them in, you know, going out and kayaking or making sure that like they just finished knee surgery and they want to get back on their feet as fast as possible, because the motivation behind that is like phenomenal. How many weeks out were you before you started walking? Because I know for myself how long I was out when I had a rod put in from my knee down to my ankle from a broken tibia and fibula. You know what I mean? So that whole knee thing, I completely get you. I sympathize and empathize all at the same time with you. How many weeks was it before you were up and walking around?
Well, it's different. Your operation is very
completely
different.
Completely.
And I would say that your operation, they would say you have to rest and stabilize it before, make sure everything's set before they want you to move around. Literally, I think it was about 15 hours after the operation. Good. While I was in the hospital, I was walking the halls up and down. I did 3 kilometers on my second day in the house. And then the fifth day I did 6 kilometers. And so I was walking 6 kilometers in the house during the day and working out therapy about 3 to 4 hours a day. Yesterday, in fact, on my Facebook page, I just posted yesterday on my Facebook page, basically the first day out of the hospital at home, what I was at day 7, and then what I did yesterday. And yesterday I posted 3 videos. And yesterday, I did a 5.5 kilometer hike in Algonquin Park through very rugged terrain, and very, very hilly and up and down and rugged terrain. It was a very tough climb. And so I did that yesterday, but it really came down. And again, it's very different from your operation, because what they want you to do what happens is they cut the quadricep muscle.
Okay.
And so you lose all this quad strength. And so I was doing squats and all quad exercises before going under the knife. And then immediately after, I was lots of protein and then a lot of exercises on with that. And I, you know, did it all here in the gym and all sorts of different exercises. So but really at the end of the day, it's so funny because I belong to a Facebook support page for knee replacements. And it's quite good, because the first week, and I'll talk a little bit about the opioids a bit, but the first week with the at day 5 or 6, I started to feel weird. And weird is when you're laying in bed and you've got a ceiling fan above you and it starts to move and it's not turned on. And so when
that was like me on prom night.
and the walls are starting to move in on you.
Right.
And it's like 3 in the morning. I get up, I walk out on the deck. It's minus 25. I've got shorts and a t-shirt on. I go, should I go swimming? And it's the ice is frozen on the lake. Right. And so it's like, and at that point I knew things weren't right. And so I couldn't get a hold of the doctor and so I just went off the pain medication, and I got some from my family doctor. I got prescribed the Tylenol 3s to kill the pain, because they say a knee replacement, and again, I don't know how you judge it, is one of the, it's pretty gruesome, because they cut the top of the tibia and the bottom of the, your thigh bone, your femur, and they cut both those off, and then they insert a piece on both ends, and then you rotate it. And so they cut all these nerves and the quad. So it's pretty gruesome, and it's painful. There's just no question about it.
Do you drink, Hal? This is why I ask it. So, because like you're a human being that relies on like your Wolverine blood, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And adamantium bone structure or whatever, because like you don't drink. And obviously when they give you prescription drugs like that, you have really adverse effects from them and stuff. And that's, I think a lot of that is because of who you are as a human being and what, you know what I mean? Your body is used to, right? You're right. Not used to taking any kind of outside influence into your body to begin with. You've got a pretty wholesome temple, if we're going to call it that, you know what I mean? To begin with. So like, good for you for like making such a fast recovery, man.
Yeah.
What's the pain level right now?
Oh, it's
nothing. It's nothing. I'm a fucking Superman.
No. I was going to say, I'm fascinated by how we can talk about coming back from surgery. Like he just made a sandwich. Like it's just, I ran 13 kilometers the day after my surgery and beat a guy in a kicking contest when I got out of the bed. You know, like it's not.
Just the best.
No, it was how can I put this? Is that I have, and again, you know,
you're
Chris,
Superman.
You would know about this as well with your wife. Is that I've got one of our cameramen. His wife is going through. They're flying to Germany tomorrow or on Saturday to get experimental surgery again for her cancer. Oh, wow. And so she was there 5 years ago, and eight years ago, she was given 2 months to live, and they fixed her, and now it's and then since then she's had brain cancer, and they fixed that, and she like it's moving around her body, and she's going over again for it. So when I don't dismiss it in the sense that it's it was trivial, because I must say it was. For the first 2 weeks, I was in pain. I was in pain where you're kind of like, this sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, why did I do this? Like, why? And what I say is that people who don't work out and get a knee replacement, try not to. And the reason I say that is because if you're not used to working out 2 to 3 hours a day, and now you've got to go and do proper rehab, which is 2 to 3 hours of working out, literally minimum each day. And that 2 and 3 hours, you're in pain for the full 2 and 3 hours.
Yeah.
So most, you're not going to do it. And that's why a lot of people after knee replacement aren't happy with what they do. And so, as I say, if you have to care about your body more than your doctor, more than your physiotherapist, more than your spouse, if you don't care about, and so it became a full-time job, like literally got up in the morning, ice, heat, ultrasound, TENS machine, came up an hour on the elliptical, stretching, come back, breakfast, ice, heat, TENS machine, ultrasound. Then I had a nap, and then I'd go back up in the gym around 4 or 5 o'clock. And the biggest thing, and Chris, I don't know if this happened with yours, is you can't sleep.
No.
And so you get an hour or two a night. So now you're completely exhausted.
Yep.
You have to do this. And what I was referring to with our cameraman and his wife with cancer is that a lot of people go through a lot worse things than what I was going through. And I always kept that in mind, is that as lousy as it was, and you know, never feel pity about yourself, because there's so many people that go through so much worse. And when they say that, you know, they battled cancer, I can't imagine having to do radiation and all the things that they have to go through, and not knowing what the ultimate outcome at the end of the day, and you have no control.
Yeah,
I had control
Yeah.
Because I went out and I worked out and worked out and worked out. That's where I look at and say, yeah, it was hard, but a lot of other people go through a lot worse than I did.
Well, that's why you hear so many people, once they've beaten cancer, if they get it again, they say, oh, I'm not going through that again.
Really?
I get it a second time, to hell with it. Just take me now, because I'm not going through that hell again. Wow. Hal, we're 15 minutes into the interview, and I want to rewind to my first question. So based on what you were saying, at this stage, post-rehab and physio and everything to get the knee up and running, are you now at a point where on a typical day, right? Are you now at a point where your exercise, your fitness is more activity-based than actually like lifting weights and doing that sort of thing? Or are you still doing that as part of your regular regime?
I never really quit my regular regime. I just simply added the specific quad exercises and stretches that I needed to do before that. That's all I really did. I just added that extra stuff in it. So I really never stepped away from doing my regular activity as much as possible. I did the elliptical was great. And I transferred from the treadmill to the elliptical. And then I got into watching Formula One on Netflix. I'm not a race fan, but I love the show now. And
hold on. When do you watch TV?
Yeah, really?
Oh, I don't believe that you watch TV. You're always hiking or riding or running or like beating up a bear or something. Like, when do you watch TV, man?
No, that's the way you get through all of the exercises. When you're on your bike, when you're on the treadmill, whatever it might be, you've got something to let your mind go. And that's what I would do.
Well, it's funny because I wanted to ask you, Hal, because we were speaking about music before you came on and you mentioned Earth, Wind, and Fire. So two-part question. I'm the music guy. I love music. Always have. I would love to know your favorites.
I'm a music guy.
We're all music guys. Who are your favorites? And also, do you use music for motivation? Because most people, when they work out, they need those earbuds in. They need the music to get them pumped. Obviously, you seem like someone who's always motivated, but how much does music play a factor in your workouts and your motivation and your routines? And what are you listening to?
It's a cornerstone. It's absolutely a cornerstone. Music is always there. In fact, yesterday, I forgot my headset that I had charged up. I wear a headset that you can hear. They're not over in your ears. They're kind of cycling ones, so they're outside, but they're there. And I forgot them, and I was almost going to turn back, even though I was with a bunch of people. But I like to listen, having that beat always there behind me. And that's always listening to music. I was fixing the trailer this afternoon. My pickup's got speakers that are built into the – I've got a Honda Ridgeline. They're built into the bed. Wow. So I turn the music on, and I'm working outside. I got the music. When I take a bath, which is every night, I bring my phone up, listen to music while I'm in the bathtub, and so it's like I'm all music. Now, Earth, Wind, and Fire, I said that because they are my number one group.
Okay.
And the body
break. Not a bad choice at all.
The body break theme song was derived from September.
Really?
The September song of Earth, Wind, and Fire. I took that song to Dave Clark, who wrote the music for Body Break. And I said, I want something like this with some horns, upbeat. And I said, whenever you hear Earth, Wind, and Fire, it makes you happy.
Yeah.
It gives you that, like, you remember?
Yeah.
You know, the 21st night.
I know, it's crazy. They sing about Donnie's birthday, which is really weird.
That's right. So,
because they know what's up.
So that's really, music is so, and so he took that theme, the September, and then we carved out a Body Break theme using that as kind of a template.
Mm. Okay. So are you usually bumping EWF? Who else is on that list? I'm just curious to know. You have all this music in the truck, music in the headset. Yeah. What else do you like?
He's not listening to your music, Dan.
I didn't expect him to.
No, I listen. I love it. It depends on the mood. It goes with the mood. Like sometimes, like Michael Franks. Grover Washington, Earl Klug, Brian Culbertson, Barry White, Teddy Pendergrass.
That doesn't sound like workout music, though.
No. But it depends. Like Teddy.
Well.
Teddy
is, what kind of working out are y'all doing?
That's, that's a different kind of working out.
I had this in university. This is no lie. I had a portable a tape player, and I would put songs together that I'd listen to on a cassette tape.
Yeah, man.
I had Teddy Pendergrass, and he had a song. He had a song called "Come Go With Me." Close the door.
Oh yeah.
Turn off the lights.
Yep.
It won't hurt now. And so I put those songs in succession.
Right.
And so that was kind of my go-to.
It's a little message.
Man, you don't want to hear those words in jail.
Just curious. By any chance, are you a collector? I know we're all new school now, and you gotta operate like you're probably streaming or what have you with your devices. But do you happen to be a music collector? Because I got some EWF and some Teddy P and All Right Behind Me on vinyl. That's my stuff. What about you?
I don't. I've got so much stuff.
Yeah,
that I'm
too much exercise equipment. No place to put records.
Yeah, and I've got, and I'm a declutterer. I hate having too much stuff, so it's like, I want to clean. I want to know where everything is. So I got rid of. I used to belong to the Columbia.
Columbia.
Oh yeah, the 1 cent CD stuff.
How much you owe? How much do you owe?
Exactly. Well, you know, in university, when you'd move to a different place, you just give them a different address and you get 12 more.
Yeah.
I always thought, how do they make money?
They didn't.
They didn't.
That's why they're not around. Dan, in fairness, Dan, you're asking about Hal's collection, but you know, like he said, he doesn't have much space in that. You know, I don't know if you've been on Instagram, but Hal's got that like 20,000 square foot palace in Muskoka.
Nowhere to put
There's
any
no
records.
Room for vinyl. Like, oh my God, every time Hal Johnson, when I'm on Instagram or on Facebook or whatever, and I see the photos of where you're living up there, up north, I'm like, I would never leave there again.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to go anywhere. Why would you?
Don't ever invite me because I will squat. Like, I won't leave.
Don't worry.
He's not inviting you. I do have a bit of a question for you, kind of going back to the music and the working out, because you were talking about the type of earphones that you wear. You've obviously, because you've been doing this all long enough, have gone through the entire phases of different earphones and stuff. And it's always a hassle. You know this. It's a hassle finding a good set of headphones that you can work out with, right? So I want you to tell everybody out there right now, what is Hal Johnson using? What are the headphones?
Was this a commercial?
Through the Rock and his Under Armour. What is Hal Johnson using? Because clearly,
I'll be right back.
That's the stuff that we need to have happening right
now. Hold
You're
on. Did right you and Hal here. Work out a deal with a sponsor? What's going on here?
I don't know. I just want a free set of headphones.
these are the headphones that I use.
Okay.
Okay. So they go over and they don't go in the ear.
Oh, wow.
So you can hear. When you're in the bush, you want to be able to hear if you've got a, you want to be able to hear if there are other mammals around you.
True.
And so you want this. And also when you're riding your bike, you want to hear. So, but this gives excellent sound. And this is what I would have a problem. My ear's a funny shape or whatever. I never got the earbuds just don't fit. They fall out or whatever like that. So I like
that. And you still get good sound, even though you can hear outside of the earphones.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's dope.
And they don't get all sweaty and deteriorate, because that's always the biggest thing, right? After time, right?
It's all rubber.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've had a set of those outside the ear headphones. They work great. The technology is amazing.
Sometimes when I'm working in the garden.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I've got them all over here. And
I hear you. It'd be different. It'd be kind of hard to take vinyl with you on a bike. But this is for you, Hal. I got a little collection here for you.
Wow.
If you ever invite me.
You ain't doing that either.
Yeah, I got some.
Wow.
I got some.
I think Dan came at it from a different angle. He was like, yo, I can DJ one of your soirees.
Right. You work out, I'll play records.
Tid's sitting over there going, if you want more opioids, I got you.
I'll just hang out and make sure that I'll make sure that Donnie doesn't show up.
That's it.
I'll work
perfect
the
combo.
We're not very good hosts, actually. We're not very good hosts.
Nobody is. These
we really don't want anybody here. So.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you.
We were talking in the first block, Hal, about, and just since we're talking about music, we were talking in the first block about the anniversary of Bob Marley's passing. Mm-hmm. You know, we've mentioned a lot of legendary names. I'm curious where Bob Marley ranks for you and what kind of impact he had on you as a young man growing up.
Well, I remember at University of Colorado, there was some Jamaican guys and they were playing Bob Marley all the time. And that was my introduction to Bob Marley. Mm. And I liked it, but I was so into other stuff that it didn't resonate then. You know, I was into the Tramps and Trevaris and, you know, Hall & Oates and, you know, all of those, that era of song.
Yeah.
That I wasn't, but later, I've got one of my playlists has a lot of Bob Marley, and that whole island feel on it.
Yeah.
So it's enjoyable. It's a certain mood I'm in. It's not in my top five list in that regard.
What is?
Well, it's really, I really love jazz. And the
Coltrane, jazz, like what kind of?
No, it's like, more the Grover Washington,
okay,
Boney James, that sort of, let's say Brian Culbertson, like Norman Brown, like all of these guys,
Marsalis, like stuff like
that. Yeah, Winston, he's different than what I listen to. It's kind of new age jazz is what I listen to more. And new age, and it's like, you know, I loved Grover Washington, Kenny G. I love that kind of stuff, you know, in that regard. So, music. It's funny because Joanne is not into music at all.
No.
And she's always telling me, do you really have to have that going? Like
wow. And you guys have been married for so long. That's divorce talks for me, bro. Wow.
And that's why Dan's never been in a serious relationship.
She puts up with your psychosis of like training all the time when you're coming off of surgery. Like, I mean, it's the least you can do. Like, play her some music that she likes once in a while, bro.
She doesn't. She's not into music. Like, she can take it or leave it.
That's like not being into
fun. And she'll go. Well, she's always telling me, like I've got 12 speakers around the outside, and I'll turn the speakers on and go from one area to the next. I wired it before when we did all the landscaping, and I'm running wire everywhere to hook the speakers up at this time. And I blast the music, and she says, can you just turn it down a little? I go, why? I'm feeling good, you know? And it's so she's not into it, but you know, we communicate on other levels, so that's
good music, for you, man.
It can't be perfect.
Sign language.
After that many years of marriage, that's not a bad idea.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes there are certain fingers she uses to give me those signs.
Right.
Hey, I'm 20 years, bro. I get it. I know.
When you mentioned loving jazz, two things pop in my mind. One is that old Jerry Seinfeld bit about how jazz sounds like five different instruments playing five different songs. So that's the first thing that pops in my head. The other thing is, and I don't know if Tid's going to remember this or not, but I was about 19 years old. And Tid and I were hanging out back then, and I had met a young lady who was a few years older than me. And like, I had never dated anyone like this before. And I was going out on a first date with her. Tid, I'll tell you off air if you don't remember who I'm talking about. But I said to Tid, where do I take her? Like, I have no idea where to take a person like this. He goes, take her to a jazz bar. And he was being dead. I thought he was ribbing me. Like, what am I going to do at a jazz bar? I'm like this long-haired rocker guy. Like, what am I going to do at a jazz? He's like, take her to a jazz bar. She'll think you're classy as hell. And I'm like, okay. So I did. The date still sucked. But
but there's always a certain sense of sophistication that comes right along with knowing the nuances that are that go behind jazz. Like, yeah, it's a lot more complicated than people think. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when you listen to it, you know, it's like White Men Can't Jump is kind of an example. And I bring this up a lot because there's a phrase in it, you know, when they're talking about it's like you might listen to Jimmy, but you don't hear Jimmy. And it's the same kind of thing with jazz. You might listen to jazz, but you're not hearing jazz. So if you take somebody to a jazz bar, it's like, oh shit, he must really understand jazz. he gets it. He probably reads a book or two. I should probably have sex with this guy. I'm just trying to hook you up, brother.
He couldn't pull it off.
You did your part. I flopped the show.
Yeah, she knew when she walked in there. It's like, this dude is completely out of it.
Is literally the best
jazz with one Z.
Yeah,
he couldn't even snap.
In those days, Tid was the best wingman in the business. I just couldn't close. Yes.
Sounds about right.
I want to ask you, Hal Johnson, as much of a proponent for fitness as you are and healthy living and everything else, what is your cheat meal? What is the thing that just like guilty pleasure, nobody's looking, there's no cameras on, and you're just gonna gorge and stuff your face? And I'm not talking about like, I might have 5 potato chips or a teaspoon of ice cream. Like, what's the thing you're really gonna pig out on?
Oh, I had it tonight. I had pizza.
Okay.
All right, what are the toppings?
Well, it was Hawaiian, just Hawaiian
pineapple.
Yep, some pineapple.
Hal Johnson is pro pineapple on the pizza.
A big deal.
Send your mail to.
That's almost as controversial as vaccine talks. I thought it was really interesting over the last little while. You've been very pro vaccine on all your social media. You posted a photo when you got your shot. You've been encouraging others to go do the same. And you've had, I'd say, from what I've seen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, 90-95% have been very positive responses from followers on social media. And then there's a few knuckleheads, right, who jump in there and throw their comments. And generally what I see is if you respond at all, you just put like a little happy face or something. Like, you don't let it faze you. But does it surprise you at this point that there's still so much controversy about like the only real solution we have to ending this friggin' pandemic?
No, I think, you know, there's always people that aren't very bright. And so you have to realize that they're there. Right. So and I actually told the guy he was an idiot in a very nice way, you know, and I told a couple of people like that? One person that I don't get trolled very often.
Right.
People are very respectful. And, you know, but when somebody, you know, does say something like that, like I said to one person, I said, well, that's your opinion. You know, I hope you stay safe. I hope you wear your mask. And I hope that you're not on the same flight with me when I go to Hawaii in November.
Right.
So it's like, and I hope they institute, I hope they institute a passport for vaccines.
I agree.
Because that's the only way you're going to get some of these knuckleheads to do it. And so, I mean, I think some people are as bad as Chris's internet. I mean, it's like, you know, it's really kind of, you know, it's like,
well done. Back.
you know.
You know what? I agree with you, and I've said this to people off air as well. Like, to me, oh, you hurt Chris's feelings.
You offended him so greatly.
I've said this to a few people. How, to me, the vaccine passport to me isn't about the luxury of travel. To me, the vaccine passport is about the ability to actually just go to the mall, go to, you know, a restaurant, do whatever. And I know people look at that and go, oh, that's communist. You got to show your papers. What about freedom of choice and this and that? And it's like, there are 3.5 million deaths from this thing, more than any war we've ever had on this planet. For all the people that are out there going, oh, it's just like the flu. That's all it is. The flu has never done this kind of havoc to the planet ever, you know? And it's like, if you have a better suggestion out there as to what is going to solve this thing, I'd love to hear it. But to me, it's like, get vaccinated, be responsible, take care of yourself, and let's get back to living life. Because some of the projections, some of the modeling I've seen, it's really scary when they talk about, if people don't get vaccinated, if we stay around this current rate of vaccination where about 40% of the continent is still hesitant, they're talking about, this isn't going to be something that's going to last for another year. They're talking about a generation living this way.
But it's not going to happen. Like, that's, it's not going to happen, because, like, I think, especially in Canada, we get just kind of like guns in a sense or whatever. We get the bleed over from the United States in the idiocy that they have. And so and most of the people who are vaccine hesitant are Trump-ish type supporters. And so it's kind of like Darwin's theory, is that, you know, at a certain point, they're all going to be no longer with us. they're going to go with the vaccine. So it's like, okay.
Hal's a beast. He just, I love it, man.
Hal spits fire. You know what? Let me say this.
Yo, for real.
On this past weekend, my eyes rolled back in my head, because in the Godfather's group chat, Dan sends a message talking about how he booked his vaccine appointment, or he's planning to. And I'm like, Dan has been one of the biggest, like, I don't know, I'm not ready to do this. We actually had a fight on this show about the vaccine, about 6 weeks ago or so.
Well, since you brought it up,
I'm so proud of you, bro.
Well, let me thank you. But first of all, let me explain very clearly to our fine guest and to everybody listening. I have never been anti-vax. I have been pro get to know what it is you're getting yourself involved in. And because of the many different vaccines that are out there and the fact that this is new, I was of the mind, and I did say this on the show, that I'm not going to be first in line for the vaccine. I would like to see how things played out. And the way things have played out is the following. I have two cousins who are teachers in Spain. They went to the front of the line because they are teachers in Spain, and they got the AstraZeneca vaccine. The AstraZeneca vaccine was then discontinued in Spain. Hence, my hesitation before getting a vaccine was, let's see how things have played out. And of course, now AstraZeneca has now been discontinued here. But so
that's,
to me, I booked my.
That's not because.
Let me finish. I booked my vaccine. I booked my vaccine like I always said I was going to, after I let things play out and I felt comfortable. That's as simple as that.
Let me just say this, because
I don't know why you're so surprised.
I just don't want to spread anything out there. AstraZeneca has been temporarily halted in Ontario out of an overabundance of caution, not because it's killing people, not because people are getting
same
blood
caution
clots.
I used
first shot, only first shot.
Tid and I both had the first shot of AstraZeneca, symptom free, side effect free, absolutely no issue. And excellent. I know tons and tons of other people who did. The likelihood of the blood clot issue as a side effect when getting the first shot of AstraZeneca is about as likely as getting hit by lightning. Like, it's really, really rare. And yes, they have to make you aware of all possible side effects. That's the way it is. I get it. But like, we're not talking about something like the way people talk about it in the media. It's like, everyone's getting blood clots. Everyone's dropping dead. This thing is so dangerous. the CDC even told the European countries, don't stop giving this out. What are you doing? And they got scared and they freaked out because they're not doing their own research. And, you know, it's an overabundance of like bad publicity. That's really what it comes down to. Which vaccine did you get?
Yeah.
I got the Pfizer one.
Okay.
And I got it, I guess it was about 2 weeks. Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks this Saturday. And, you know, I'm scheduled mid-August, but I'll probably get, I think I'll get it probably mid-July. Everything will move that much quicker. But what I always think in terms of this is I believe in science. I believe in, and I believe in people who are educated. I put the analogy like getting on an airplane. So if you're to get on an airplane and in the captain seat is Doug Ford and a real pilot is in the co-pilot seat,
right,
and you look in and you go, I'm going to get off this flight.
Right.
Because
restrictions. You're right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because
if they're running the ship, I'm out of here.
Right.
And so, but that's where way politicians should look at it is that you are the co-pilot, and only when you need to talk, when we're told to talk, that's when you talk. Mm-hmm. But the medical community and scientists should be in the pilot seat, sure, running the show.
Yeah.
So I listen to them and I listen to what they have to say, and I trust them. And because it was politicized so much with Trump,
yeah,
I mean, his poison has just permeated the world.
So true.
It's taken people that were borderline not bright to really not bright. And so that's really what I look at that. And when I get people saying things, it was funny because I just block them. Like I'll throw out a couple of barbs and then I'll block them. And what was so funny was this guy on the weekend from Alberta, surprise, that he said that because I put out on my personal Facebook page about everyone should get their vaccine,
right,
I was bullying him. And I was like, this guy's got more issues than just the vaccine.
And those guys would not have lasted in school with me, man. Let me show you what bullying is.
Yeah. Like, it's funny how those who always call people snowflakes are the easiest to melt. It's crazy. Anyway, never you been know what's anti-vax. Funny is, let me just put that out there.
I didn't say you were.
Oh.
The funny thing that I want to throw out there is, speaking of Facebook trolls and everything else, Tid and I both got our AstraZeneca vaccines on the same day. Coincidentally, we didn't plan it that way. It just sort of worked out that way. And when I got mine, I posted on Facebook, got my AZ, super excited. I had one guy who just decided to go on there and troll. Oh, I used to respect you so much. I'm a huge fan of yours. And now I just know that you're an idiot and blah, blah, blah. You're just one of the you're just a sheep, blah, blah, blah. So I just responded.
Under my burner account.
I responded with a smile and said, drink bleach. And Facebook put me in jail.
Yeah. Oh, you got put in jail for that?
Oh, yeah. I got locked in jail.
I've somehow escaped this whole time. I'm shocked.
And I'm like, bro, I'm having some fun with this guy. The whole Trump thing about bleach and everything else.
The thing is, though, he would have drank bleach considering it was previously recommended.
Right. Maybe they thought you were Chrissy Teigen.
I got put in jail on LinkedIn.
Was LinkedIn jail.
Wow. Yeah, because LinkedIn, I thought it was so funny because again, somebody put a big thing of Trump and a big Trump supporter, and I just chimed in and said, well, what's the difference between Trump and Hitler? And I then ... nothing.
Wow.
And so, and I put that, and then I got all of these responses back.
Of course.
And then all I said was, you Americans are nuts.
Wow.
And that by saying Americans are nuts,
right,
I got a note from LinkedIn that you shouldn't say that and all of those things like that.
Hal, you are my guy. I remember when you were on the show last time and you gave that anti-American speech. I was like, yo, how's kind of serious? But I didn't know you were that gangster with it, bro. Like, you are not.
I gotta start to second guess like who we're letting on here, though. This is three times.
I want to watch like a Canada USA hockey game with you, man. Like that's you're not easy. Respect, man.
Tid still has an American passport, so he's getting his feeling. He's gonna accuse Hal of bullying.
I'm going to Wegmans before you are, motherfucker. Yeah.
So where do you live though?
Where did I live? Las Vegas.
No, where do you live?
Right now.
Oh, in Canada. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I remember, this is a funny little story. When I first met Tid back in 1996, and he was literally one of the most intimidating people I've ever met in my life. Like, he had a reputation of being like the toughest guy in Toronto. And he was like the head doorman at the busiest bar in the city. And he just had this reputation. And I remember like being shy and timid and trying to get to know him. And he told me like, yeah, I'm from Las Vegas. And I was like, oh, so what are you doing here? And he's like, they don't want me there anymore. He was just like, I'm like, what?
And he just, that was the short form.
It was so straight face. Like, I know now he was screwing with me, but he's like, I did some things. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't ever want to like be alone with this guy. I'm so scared of him. And you know, here we are like 20.
I appreciate that you were fantasizing being alone with me.
I was just going to say
when you were 19 years old,
dude, you had those luscious long locks. You were pretty back then.
Man, where is this? Changed? Is this a different show?
Yeah.
It's all transitioning. Love.
It's all
this
love.
This is Godfather's After Dark, Hal.
I was just gonna say, what's this episode turning into?
Yeah, my lake is gone. It's no longer it's no longer a lake.
I think we need to wrap this one up. Dan, I have an idea. You know, Dan,
you want me and Hal to put on some Teddy P for you too?
No, but I was gonna say,
Fire.
This is Hal's third appearance on the show. He's the first guest on this program to appear three times. He's taken the title from Biff Naked and Run. And so now I'm thinking we need to commemorate this event. And I'm totally thinking about throwing you on the spot. Like the first time Hal Johnson was on and you spit a hot 16. Can you do a little something for Hal after all the music talks and all the hype and everything else? Can you give him a proper Danio send off? And then maybe that'll inspire him to put some Danio into his workout mix.
But I want to hear it 64.
You want 64? 64 bars? Oh, be here till midnight, bro.
So you're asking me to pay a tribute to Hal Johnson, who wishes Americans a death wish like Charles Bronson. Better get your vax, because you're such an idiot. You not taking that shit, he won't even consider it. And don't come to Muskoka, don't even come to his house, because if Donnie shows up at the door, he'll kick his ass out. But I'll be there playing some Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we'll be in his truck while the friggin' tires are rolling. We got the friggin' backseat swollen with the music blasting, and Joanne won't be knowing that we be playing that shit, because she will tell us to turn it off. But Danio is on the mic now, and I'm never soft like Tid is when he's hanging around Donnie in 96, because he wanted to be alone with him, but he's not into that mix. So yo, rest in peace Bob Marley, you're the best. And when I'm on the mic, you know that no MC can test, just like Hal Johnson when he tries to get rest, which is only 1 hour, because you know he's got a chest that's bigger than all of y'all's, because he's brave and he's bad. Yo, cut off his knee and he'll still beat you like your dad. But that's how we do on the podcast and show. Peace from your man, your bro Danio. It's like
Wow. You know what the best part about that was? We had a listener who contacted us on Instagram I don't know, a couple months ago, one of the last episodes when you actually did a freestyle. And they said, come on man, Dan wrote that. And I'm like, Dan doesn't write freestyles. And like almost every line what you just dropped was literally from this episode. Like he could not have possibly written that. So take that, hater.
I should have brought this up. You could have done something about this one.
Oh, wow. Prostate exam time.
Turn your head and cough.
So you do realize
aging Dr. Johnson.
if you come on here for a fourth time, then you have to freestyle.
Oh, let's go.
I'll just sing. I'm not a freestyler. I'm
okay.
I'm a frustrated singer.
That's
play
a date.
Some smooth jazz for you.
Let's do it.
Okay. Hal Johnson, thanks so much, man. We really appreciate your time.
Such an honor to have you back.
Say hi to Joanne for us. Have a great one.
Well, I'll wake her up.
Don't do that. Hal Johnson, everybody.
Yes, sir.
Keep fit. Have fun.
Always. Canadian royalty in the building, man.
Always a good time.
Straight up. Who has the balls to troll Hal Johnson on social media? You're a special kind of asshole.
That's even dumber than accusing Danny of writing a freestyle.
It was probably Dwayne Johnson. Right?
Taking all the Johnson. Dwayne,
think about it. Two Canadians, both named Johnson. He was like, nah, you can't step on my fucking shit, bro. And he got a burner, account and started trolling Hal Johnson.
Well, Dwayne's not really Canadian.
I know. I was going to say, he really threw him in there.
He kind of has some Toronto history, but.
I mean, he's half, technically.
You know what I think is really interesting, by the way, since you mentioned Dwayne Johnson, I want to say this before we go. I don't know if either of you have checked out the show on NBC, which has been a smash hit, Young Rock.
I saw two episodes.
So it's pretty good. And the thing I love about it is you both know my cousin Charlie that lives down in Bethlehem, PA. And Charlie and a few of his best friends always used to tell me stories about when they were going to Freedom High School in Bethlehem, PA with Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
Wow.
And
this guy's just been everywhere. Holy shit.
And I was like, I never heard he was in Bethlehem. Like, yeah, man, his dad was based out of Allentown, which makes sense because the Samoans were based there. And Allentown, PA is a huge wrestling town in terms of historical significance. And on this Young Rock show, they talk a lot about his time in Bethlehem.
Wow.
And I found it really interesting. This tiny little township snuggled in Pennsylvania, and most people have never heard of it. And it's getting all this love on the Young Rock show. And a lot of the stories that they're telling from his high school days, like some of those characters are amalgams of guys that I know that I've known my whole life, like my cousin's buddies. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty neat how that's come together. That show, some people get mad because that's not real. Like the Iron Sheik wasn't having a party with Junkyard Dog. It's like, it's not a history show. Like it's not supposed to be historically accurate. It's fun storytelling.
It was kind of cool to see those characters though.
They talk about your cousin giving the Rock handies.
Yeah, of course.
In the showers in high school.
Been there.
There's a really funny story that,
funny you should say that, Ted.
There's a really funny story that one of my cousin's buddies told me about. Because they talk a lot about on that show when The Rock went to university to play football and then he had an injury and he had to redshirt. What I was told, and Rock has never said this publicly, and one time when I interviewed him at the Sky Dome back in 97, I think Tid was with me. I asked him about this story and he just smiled and said, no comment. And that was it. So what I was told was he blew out his knee playing pickup basketball in his senior year of high school, blew out his knee playing pickup basketball in the summertime with a couple of my cousin's buddies. And he just killed his knee. And everyone's like, oh my God, like this is not good. Like he has a scholarship, like he's dead. And he went to school. He went to Miami. He worked all the coaches into thinking he was fine. He was killing it with the bench presses. He was killing all the fitness tests. He went out there on the practice field for scrimmage. He took a hit, went down like he got shot. Oh, my knee. And then he got hurt on the field.
Oh, wow.
Because if he had been hurt before showing up,
right,
he might have lost the scally.
Wow.
So he was a worker from day one, man. And that's the theme on that show is Dad Rocky always telling him, work the gimmick, brother. Work the gimmick.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, boys. It's been a fun one.
Yes, sir.
55 in the books. Tid, Dan, any last thoughts before we say goodnight?
Yeah. Get your vaccine.
I'm gonna clip that, I'm gonna loop it, and I'm gonna share it everywhere. I love it. Tid, you're good?
What he said.
All right. Everybody out there, stay safe. Do your thing. Do your part. Let's all work together to get this shit under control. My name is Donnie Da Silva. That's Notorious TID and your bro, Danny O. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.